troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, your host. You can be found at www.sounddoctrine.org. And I want to welcome everybody back. It's been a very interesting week of study. Welcome to the Bible study as we continue on a journey, a trek to Zion, to the Promised Land, by way of the Scripture, as we are just beyond words with astonishment, amazement, etc., concerning this amazing Word of God as it is just unfolding before our eyes. As I'm pretty sure I can speak for most of us that we are products of the church system. Many of us have spent a lot of years, you know, carrying our Bibles, trudging out our duty, Bible studies, Sunday schools, Sunday evening services. And at this time, at this juncture in history, none of us had any idea that this is how this was going to end up. But this is how it's ending up. This is the Lord. The Lord is amazing. Work that He is executing, and it's happening with or without us, hopefully with us, because the Lord has made it available to all of us, this so great a salvation that He's provided for us, you know, His atoning work on the cross that is available, this power that's made His power, His grace available to us, His saving power. As no one is saved, you are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. And it's not anything that we do in our own strength, our own power, our own will. But we repent and we surrender. And we accept the gift of salvation. And in accepting that gift of salvation, it comes with a price. We forsake our lives. We surrender our lives to the Lord. In return, He takes control of them, and He leads us and guides us. We enter into a covenant relationship with Him, and He promises that if we do this, that He will be our God, and we will be able to be called His people. He will allow us to call ourselves His people, and this is a privilege and an honor that has come with an incredible price. And today, so many have abused this and twisted this sound doctrine into a circus. And they have a form of godliness but deny the power. In other words, they deny God's grace. And they have a false grace that they're trusting in. And this is no accident. It didn't just happen this way. This is all written. This is says in Joel, they are executing His word. And this is what's happening. The Lord's written word is coming to fruition. It's manifesting. And it says in Habakkuk that it is written, you can be sure it will come to pass. And it is. It is coming to pass. And as we go on, we find that it is so clearly written in Scripture, this time that we're dealing with today, and the events that we're dealing with today. And as you continue to surrender, yield to the Lord, His truth is just unlocked. And it says in Zephaniah, "For then will I turn to the people of pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent." And you know, we see this language that the Lord's talking about as He's unveiled the metaphors and the similitudes of the trek of the of Israel in the Old Testament, as we can see the types and shadows for us today. And for those following the show, we've truly been on a journey as we've found ourselves in Scripture, become more and more solid with our understanding of what it is we're dealing with today. Is the Lord's just opened up the understanding of the locusts, scorpions, serpents that ascend out of the bottomless pit, and the thread that weaves of understanding is this is what we're dealing with today. There's the remnant of God, the remnant of Israel, and the false teachers. The metaphor in Scripture are the Assyrians, the Chaldeans, Gog Magog, the locusts, the caterpillars, the a bitter and hasty nation that invades Israel. And as we see today in the New Testament age, you know, Israel is a spiritual construct. At the cross, Israel was translated from a physical entity to a spiritual entity. And that God's people, God's covenant people, Israel. And this is what the Scripture is teaching us, the account of Israel. And in these last days, that doctrine has been twisted and diminished. And as we've come to realize that remnant, one of the key understandings of the remnant body is the understanding of Israel and the understanding of the identity of Israel. But we're just getting to another dimension of it now that it's just bringing so much more clarity to where we are and why this is happening and what is happening. You know, and actually, the bottom line is it's good news. This has a happy ending for God's people. But we're going to jump into some Scripture today, and by the end of this show, I'm really believing that you're going to be at another place, because we can see so clearly what God is doing. And so amazing in the fact that what the harlot church, the doctrines that do come out of this harlot system, have been taught and told so many times for so long that when the truth is presented, it's just sometimes very difficult to get rid of those lies that bind us. But we do, and we just continue on as the Lord leads, as we replace these lies with truth and build this temple, build this holy city, with lively stones. The Lord is gathering His elect one by one, and we're part of this. The Lord has allowed us to be a part of this building. And so clearly in Scripture is the account of the Babylonian captivity and the ultimate release from that captivity. And we see many references to Babylon, and then we hear reference to a mystery Babylon at the end of the age. And truly a mystery, but we're finding that the mystery is being revealed. The Lord tells us that he does this in Revelation chapter 10, that the mystery of God should be finished as he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. This is what he's done. He's opened up his mystery that he's kept secret. He's kept hidden. Go thy way, Daniel. These words are sealed to the time of the end. Daniel, who was in Babylonian captivity when he read books, he read Jeremiah, and he realized what was happening. He realized that his people were in Babylonian captivity because they failed to keep the Sabbath. They failed to let the land rest as per the Lord's instruction every seventh year. And by deduction, Daniel was able to put it together and had one of the biggest aha moments of all time. And I don't want to, you know, I'm not by any ways comparing myself to Daniel, but I'm having the same thing. I'm reading books, I'm reading the scripture, and I'm finding the same exact thing that Daniel found. As I find our situation today is identical, and that we are in the same pattern of captivity, mystery Babylon, and have come to the conclusion that we are in the mystery Babylon captivity. And through Revelation, I've come to the conclusion that on a physical layer, that the Babylonian captivity began in 1948, when the abomination of desolation was set up, and that is the nation state of blasphemy, commonly known as Israel, which is not Israel. It's a counterfeit. The Israel in the Middle East that the world is wondering after is a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit of the Israel of God. It's a counterfeit of the Jerusalem above. Jerusalem above, which is free. Jerusalem below, Jerusalem that is also known as the beast that is, and that yet is. It says in Revelation chapter 17, the beast that was not, and shall ascend and go into perdition. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes on into perdition. What's Revelation 17? It's setting the stage for Mystery Babylon, and it's telling us clearly the pattern of the New Testament Babylon is the same as the Old Testament. As man did not remain in seven, he didn't remain in the Lord's Sabbath rest, he went on into perdition, he went on into the eighth, which is the metaphoric understanding of the builders and climbers, the those who are seeking to climb into heaven another way, which is the harlot church today. We have the religious system of building programs and whatnot, all about following man's ideas. They're not listening to God. They've completely missed God. They've gone into the eighth, gone into perdition. And this is what we're dealing with today. So this is the same circumstances that led to the first Babylonian captivity have now brought about the second Babylonian captivity. So clearly described in Scripture that I like now preparing for the show. I've been preparing all day. I've had notes for days now, and I just had to stop. This is going to be a while. We'll be on this topic for quite a while. I can see that there's so much here, so much utter detail, that I really believe the Lord is going to make it absolutely clear ahead of time of how this thing plays out, that his remnant people will be ready, that are ready for what's taking place now. And as I've come to the conclusion, while the church is looking for a coming, you know, catastrophic future, you know, I'm here telling you that all these terms like flood and earthquake and famine are all metaphors, and they're already well underway. And I've also come to the conclusion that we are in the tribulation. What is termed the tribulation in the scripture, the indignation of the Lord, has been underway for a long time. And I'm at the point now that I'm dogmatically saying it all began in 1948 when the diverse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, UN, US UN, pale horse, came together for the purpose of judgment and declared that the land in Palestine is to be the rebirth of the nation of Israel. But this is man-made doctrine. This is Freemasonry, only made possible by years and years of preparation in the infiltration of the Protestant Christian seminaries with the Scofield Study Bible, where these concocted doctrines were originated, truly the foundation of the strong delusion, the snare. The abomination that makes desolate is the second Babylonian invasion. New Testament, the invasion is a similitude of the Old Testament physical invasion, and now the invasion of the Chaldeans, the Assyrians, invading Israel is in fact the spiritual Israel, the church, the house of God, has been invaded by false teachers. The Lord's strange work, the Lord's strange act, a work if told you, you wouldn't believe it. An army of horsemen, 200,000 false teachers began invading the church, all for God's purpose, for God's purpose of judgment, for separation at the end of the age. And as we see the signpost of the 1948 time period as the ascension of the nation state of Israel, which we see clearly tied to the identity of the little horn power in Daniel, that is present when the four beasts, when the three beasts combine into the fourth, diverse fourth beast. And we saw last week with the study of Zechariah as the four beasts described as the four carpenters, you know, coming together for the purpose of judgment. And this is where we are. We're in the indignation of the Lord, the last days, and we've been, you know, gone over this for months and months, and we're going to just continue digging in with more and more detail that the Lord's provided for us in Scripture to know exactly where we are and where this is headed. And I'm excited, and I'm just privileged to share this with you as the Lord is revealing it to me. And it's only going to happen through you know, His Word, looking at Scripture. And I want to start to, you know, tie some metaphors together for us today, and hopefully at the end of the show you're going to be able to walk away with a better understanding of exactly where we are and what your place in this is. And with that, I'm going to jump in to 2 Kings 25, verse 3 and 4. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went away toward the plain. And we understand that this account in Kings is talking about the, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar's invasion of Israel, and of Jerusalem, and it was brought on by famine, you know, by there was no bread for the people of the land, you know. And this is the account of the first Babylonian invasion. And severe famine crippled the city. And then we look at a scripture like Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now this mystery Babylon at the end of the age is a type and shadow of physical Babylon. And as we read the accounts of physical Babylon, we can apply it to today and to the what we're dealing with today, because we are truly dealing with this famine. This same famine is what's brought about the second Babylonian captivity, because the church is in captivity right now. This is the reason for the deception. This is the reason for the deer in the headlight look of all your loved ones that you share the truth with, that look and stare at you and can't get what you're talking about, because they're in a famine. There's a famine on their land. And it's not for bread or thirst of water, but for hearing of the words of the Lord. They can't hear you. They just can't hear you. And this is the Babylonian captivity that we're in right now. And the Lord's given us clear instruction on how to deal with it and where it's going to end up, because it doesn't last forever. I'm going to tell you, I'm of the mind it lasts for 70 years. And I believe we've been in it since 1948. And I'm seeing signs that this thing is absolutely coming to the full, as the transgressors come to the full, is what Scripture says. The transgressors are the false teachers, the strangers that have invaded the sanctuaries. You know, this is what we're dealing with. This is what the Lord has allowed. This, He's allowed this invasion into His own house. And I just got a hold of, like, I'm studying Daniel chapter 8, where we see the account of the abomination of desolation, which is literally the setting up of the nation state of Israel. It's an abomination, and that's the abomination that has made the house desolate. That's the doctrine, the belief, the wondering after the nation state of Israel that has caused the house of God to go desolate. And this is where we are. Every apostate ministry can be, you can see the signature by their elevation of the nation state of Israel, the nation state of blasphemy, I call it, because that is not Israel. That is not the Israel of God. We are the Israel of God. We are the people called by His name. And don't mess with that. Man has messed with that. And the Lord's fury is upon us. See, the problem is today, though, the church doesn't realize that it's in captivity. As it's singing hallelujah and, you know, praising the Lord, washing the blood, and it's just missing it, and it's in tremendous peril. But it's very clear where this ends up. The Lord makes it very clear, and we're going to study it today. But I just got a hold of something in Daniel chapter 8, verse 24, and His power shall be mighty, but not by His own power. And He shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy mighty, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now His power, you know, who's this he? And this is the spirit of Antichrist, and this is the, you know, the type of verse that the harlot church likes to use to substantiate its fairy tale of, you know, the Antichrist coming. Watch out for the Antichrist. We're not going to be deceived by him. But, you know, His power shall be mighty, but not by His own power. Well, I just realized what that means. Revelation 9, verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power. As the scorpions of the earth have power. See, this is the spirit of Antichrist is, you know, destroying wonderfully, but it's not by His own power. the powers given to his mouthpieces, his locusts, his scorpions, his serpents. As we see this idea later on in the chapter. But this is what he's doing. See, he's influencing these false teachers, these locust scorpions that have, come upon the earth to hurt men 5 months, and the connection to the locusts are connected directly to famine. You see that? Another connection that I've just made again. It's all repeating, just the same way it happened the first time. And in Luke, he makes an account from Elijah. But I tell you the of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. And 1 Kings chapter 8, if there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locusts, or if there be caterpillar, or if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whoever sickness there be. Now see, this is all metaphor today. This is all the metaphor for what's taking place today. The locusts, caterpillars have besieged the land. All happening right now. This is not a future event, as we've already talked about, but anybody new to the show, we've come to the conclusion that we're in the tribulation, that this tribulation that we've been taught for years is going to be this future catastrophic event, which, by the way, will end up happening. Man's pretty determined to get his way, and by one way or another, there's going to be some pretty nasty stuff ahead, but majority of it is not Bible prophecy. It is not what Scripture's teaching. It's not what God's telling us. What God is telling us is metaphor, and it's talking about a spiritual condition in the latter days. Jeremiah 23:20, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent thee prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they have stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way, and from the evil of their doing. See, this is, talking about these false prophets that have come into the house. And God has not sent these prophets, but they're claiming, thus saith the Lord, that I've had a vision, I've had a dream. But nothing's happening. Their words are not turning men from evil. The church is completely riddled with sin today. The church is a refuge for sin. It's become a safe haven for sinners. And I know that sounds contrary to what we believe Christianity is. But Christianity is a place to be healed. It's not a place to remain sick. But today, the church is a place that depends on the participants, remaining in their iniquity, remaining in their infirmity. If they get healed, the system crumbles. And this is the problem. This is what Jeremiah is telling us. And I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. That's a verse we've used many times before. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness. And that word caught me. I looked it up, and it's Strong's. It's H6350 from frivolity, lightness. I mean, is that talking about the modern pastor? Frivolity. He's yucking it up, preaching this false gospel that, again, began in full force in 1948, with nothing more clear than the figurehead of Billy Graham in television. This is the time when the gospel of merchandise came on the scene. Billy Graham was put in power by Rockefeller, financed by William Randolph Hearst, Knight of Malta, all for God's purposes, a false prophet preaching a false gospel, the gospel where we've been taught that when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin, he sees Jesus. Well, that's the most heinous false doctrine ever, in that this false understanding of grace that is being presented in these churches today by their lightness, by these pastors that cause their people to err, by their lightness, by their frivolity, you know, taking this finished work on the cross and turning it into a circus act. You know, this is what we're dealing with today, and it's so clear in Jeremiah, and we're going to continue on, and then we'll see where this ends up. We'll jump into Jeremiah 25, verse 4. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Okay, this is talking about the first Babylonian captivity, and it's talking about the second. This is a dual fulfillment scripture, and it's this is the account of what's happening today. This is the account of Mystery Babylon. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of Chaldeans, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. So this is the end. This is good news, that the Lord does punish the king of Babylon at the end of this thing. But in the meantime, we're in this. We're in this Babylonian captivity. This is the reason that your friends and loved ones in the harlot church can't hear you. And because the Babylonian captivity today is deception. It's the strong delusion for those who love not the truth. But it's for God's purpose. And there's an end to this madness, as it seems. And I don't say that lightly, because it does say, And they shall drink and be moved and be mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. Okay, see what that's saying there? That the Lord is, that these people will be made mad because of the sword that I will send upon them. And this sword is the sword of lies that come out of the false prophet's mouth, whose lips are smooth as butter. His mouth is smooth as butter. His tongue is a wielding sword. This is the sword that the Lord has sent among them. But this is for God's purpose. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. This is Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. It's talking about you. This is talking about us. This has happened to us. Jerusalem is a church. We've been carried away to Babylon, the counterfeit church, which is another signature of Babylon. Babylon was a counterfeit religious system, or a counterfeit religious center. And this is the type and shadow of what we're dealing with today, this Antichrist, this in place of Christ that is running the church today. And all the types and shadows are right there for us to study. And as I say again, this is going to be an in-depth study with detailed notes, and I'll be printing them off and having them on the blog for you. And this isn't light reading. This is going to take some time for this to sink in. It's taking time for me, but it's just so rich, because it's all there in Scripture over and over repeating the same story. And it's the story that we hit upon, you know, a couple years ago. But as we continue on, the Lord is just bringing more and more light, more and more detail to this. And it's so exciting. It's so amazing. I'm going to continue on now in Jeremiah 29. We're building this story as I've skipped over so much, but I just have to. I had to. You know, there's just this is all going to be up to you taking what we're teaching in the study tonight and going back and reading for yourself and reading, you know, with new light when you know that you're smack in the middle of this right now. Jeremiah 29:10. I'm going to start with 9. Jeremiah 29:9. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. See, now that's the good news, and that's our hope right there. Because this is what we're hoping for, that the Lord returns us, you know, to this place. And now we can take that verse, and I'm telling you, a New Testament saint at the time of Tyndale or Martin Luther, say, could have read that verse and applied that to him personally. As we've all had our personal, you know, escape from Babylon, on an individual layer. But we have to remember that we are a remnant body, and we are a people, Israel. Israel is a corporate body of people, and this is addressed not only to an individual on an individual basis, but it's also addressed to a people, to a corporate body. And I'm at the point now where I'm just teaching dogmatically that we are at the end, that God's corporate body is being reconciled for the final time to himself, and that we are about to come out of this Babylonian captivity. And the way that this thing connects with Israel, the abomination of desolations in the Olivet Discourse, and the parable of the fig tree, and this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled, and this generation being connected to the 70 years. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and causing you to return to this place. I'm going to continue on now. Jeremiah 29:14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon, know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and all the people that dwelleth in the city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword and with famine and with pestilence, and I will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, an astonishment, and a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened to my word, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early, sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. So there we are. And I'm going to go back over that with a couple details, some connections to other scriptures that will help bring light to this. In that, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, and from Pathos and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And I truly see that those are a type and shadow of the seven churches there. And right now the servants, the prophets, are gathering them with the sound of their voices, speaking the truth. The elect respond and join them on the road to Zion. Jeremiah 50, verse 5, they shall ask the way to Zion, which is Jerusalem above, with their faces thitherward, saying, come, and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. And now look at what Matthew 24, verse 31 says as far as the Olivet Discourse. And he said, and he shall send his angels, and I put in parentheses, messengers, the servants, the prophets. The word angels is messengers. With a great sound of a trumpet. And this is the sound of our voices. And don't look now, but we're these angels. We are the messengers that the Lord is using at this time. If you're hearing these words, you're in this. You're in this group. You're in this remnant, and you're building. This thing is building as the Lord continues. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is what's happening right now. This truth that we're preaching is gathering the elect. People are responding to it. It's happening on Facebook. It's happening on the podcast. And it's happening in our community, I hope. I'm getting some signs of hope. People looking me in the eye. And I know the Lord is, there's a shift taking place right now. I can feel it. But Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, but in the days of the voices of the seventh angel, this is the angels in Matthew 24, when he shall begin the sound, the mystery of God should be finished, and he should have declared to his servants, the prophets. Now this mystery means it's hidden, means it's been veiled. And it's the same as Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon has been veiled. But it's been, this thing's opened up. The Lord's opened up this mystery. These words that John wasn't able the Lord made him eat the book that was bitter to his stomach but sweet to his lips. This is the same thing we're dealing with now. This is sweet truth, but it's also bitter as it's brutal. As we know, this is talking about our loved ones, our friends. But we understand that all these terms in the this account of the Babylonian captivity today are metaphors. The famine. There's a famine for the word. And, you know, why is this? Jeremiah 25:16, I have to say it again. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. What sword is that? Well, it's the same sword in Psalms 55:21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. This is the same words spoken by that pastor who is speaking with, what did I say, lightness, which is frivolity. They cause people to err by their lies and by their lightness, by their frivolity. Does that sound familiar? Now, as the Lord has just taken us on this leg of our journey, you know, I'm just realizing that something's happening. You know, we're getting ready to jump, you know, to go into the later part of the book of Revelation, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19. This is what's going to be coming now. I can see that. I haven't gone there yet. I've been putting that off. I haven't felt released from, you know, our focus on Revelation 9, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. But, you know, I can see this now. This is what the Lord's doing. It's this groundwork that he's laying as we're studying the accounts in Isaiah and Jeremiah of, you know, in Kings of Babylon and the what took place then and how the captivity was, you know, the invasion was brought on by, it was brought on by famine. And, clearly the type and shadow of the famine today. And you know, this is a key verse. These key verses that the Lord's given us to hang our hat on, you know. And I remember our good friend Sue Patterson, you know, a couple years ago. She said, I'm just going to start eating my food. She had her, you know, her food stored in the, you know, in the garage. And I thought she was crazy, you know, but she just knew this from the Lord, that there's not going to be a famine, you know, a physical famine. And I see that too, clearly. You know, it says, I will send a famine, but not of, you know, bread or thirst of water. That's thus saith the Lord. The Lord said that. So that's the way it's going to be. And the famine is not that. It's hearing the word of the Lord. God doesn't mix words. He wouldn't have said that if it weren't true. And, you know, that coupled with the, you know, verse like, just as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. You know, that's there in Scripture at the end of the Olivet Discourse for a reason. And if it says, just as in the days of Noah, that men will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, it's not going to be a situation where they're, you know, running from catastrophe to catastrophe. It's going to be business as usual. It is business as usual right now, because I'm of the mind that this thing is so far along that the coming of the Son of Man is possibly underway right now. The inhabiting of the man-child, the body of the saints, where Jesus, you know, comes in a cloud, the cloud of witnesses, as he indwells his perfected saints with power that we've never seen before. And I'm already, you know, I'm experiencing it. I'm getting tastes of it. And it's just, the power comes from people hearing. People hearing what we're saying. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is truth revealed. When truth is able to be received, that's the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit heals physically and spiritually. And the Holy Spirit, you know, gives sight to the blind and heals the leper. But, you know, the Lord said, greater things ye will do. And those greater things are, you know, bringing people to repentance by hearing our word. That's the greater thing, that we are used by God to lead people to himself that results in a eternity with him as he is gathering the children of Israel one by one, which is what we're a part of, which he's allowed us to be part of. But unfortunately right now, for his purpose, we're in Babylonian captivity. I'm going to back up a little bit, and I'm going to read out of Jeremiah chapter 24, which, you know, I started this study, and I kind of just picked it up around chapter 25. And what do you know? I stumbled upon somebody referring to Jeremiah 24 that I was reading. And I'm going to read this because it's a very quick account of the Babylonian captivity and what God is doing. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs. The good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil. They cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again, the word of the Lord. Came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. Okay, you see that? Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that I carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of Chaldeans for their good. See, this is good. This Babylonian captivity is for God's purpose, and it's good. So don't mistake that. And with all this focus on apostasy and just all the ins and outs of looking at this under a microscope. We got to remember this is for God's purpose. And by His grace, we've been redeemed from this apostasy, from this, we've been rescued from this captivity. But, you know, the way I see it, we're still in it. Even the remnant are still in Babylon. You know, we've heard the call to come out, but we just don't leave. You know, we're in this thing. It's going to be God moving and God, you know, doing His work when this thing really, you know, comes to the full for His purpose, as we've heard reference to. For I will set my eyes upon them for good. I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them, and I will not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Okay? See, that's really good news, isn't it, folks? And this is what's coming. So this is encouragement, okay? And that's my hope, is that I can encourage you with these words of Scripture, the words of the Lord. Because He is about His work. And it's a good work. And it's, you know, He's carrying out His thoughts. As it said, we heard that earlier. And we just have to know that this is the written word, and this is the way it's going to be. And we're not going to stop it, and we're not going to change it, but we are going to find our place in it. And you want to be one of these good figs, because this is, you know, this is what God's called you to. But in Jeremiah 24:8, and as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely, thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah the king of Judah and his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and then that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send a sword and famine and pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Just a quick metaphoric account of Babylonian captivity and what God is doing. Because He is, this is a time of purging. It's a time of being brought through the fire and refined. So, you know, be of good cheer. That's all I can say right now. I'm going to continue on. Isaiah 13:19, in Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. I'm going to jump into Isaiah 21:9, and behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. So this is, you know, this is where this thing heads. When Babylon is fallen, it's fallen, it falls twice. And it's the same thing again, as the images, the graven images, the false gods, her gods. Babylon is a her. Mystery Babylon. It's the harlot. But with that groundwork laid here with Scripture and understanding the complexion of this thing that is Mystery Babylon and what's taking place here. There, I'm saying here, because we're in it. We're in this thing, folks. But there's this good news, and this good news is written to us. But we have to know who we are. And I'm going to read some random scripture here and tie it together. Numbers chapter 2, verse 2. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Keyword there is ensign. And he will, and this is Isaiah 5:26, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And all the inhabitants of the world and dwellers of the earth, see ye, when he lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of thee. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign upon a hill. This is talking about us. This is talking about the later day church. This is talking about the man-child. It's the two witnesses, the servants, the prophets, the Lord reveals his secret to. I find ourselves in this. I find this group that we are right now is likened to the two witnesses. I really believe that we are the Elijah ministry, the two witnesses, preaching the truth, being destroyed, being killed by the harlot church, but we are, you know, proclaiming the truth that the Lord has revealed to us. And we are gathering the elect. And as this thing builds, it brings in the man-child, which is this ensign upon a hill, the beacon on the top of a mountain. And again, I got to bring back up Matthew 24:31, and he shall send his angels, the man-child, with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather the elect from the four winds. And this is where it gets into the gathering. I'm seeing the gathering as the 144,000. We're gathering God's people, the truth that we are proclaiming is the work that the Lord's doing, separating out his flock as we are the eyes of the Lord running to and fro for throughout the earth, looking for those whose heart is perfect towards God. That's what I'm doing. I'm out in my day. I look for signs, for hints, people saying things, just waiting. You know, I handed out a CD today to a lady at the bank that I had contact with, that we came from the same church. I had a burden for her. Who knows? The next time I go in, is she going to say, I listened to that CD? You know, it was a Revelation chapter 9, locusts, you know, serpents and scorpions CD. Is she going to get it? I don't know, you know, but I the Lord gave me a heart, gave me a burden for her. I responded, and this is what's happening. And as this process is going on, and you know, we look at this thing, and I, you know, I'm not a date setter, and I'm absolutely, you know, caution anybody setting dates. But I heard from the Lord, and I'm saying that this abomination that maketh desolate is the state of Israel. Happened in 1948. It happened. It literally happened in 1948. And that thing is the thing that has made God's house desolate. And all the associated doctrine that has come out of that. Freemasonic deception. And I'm here to tell you that this 70-year captivity, everything fits like a glove. That we've been in this captivity, which is deception. The deception that has come on to the level that it is now because of the things that came together in 1948. The CIA, the you know, Tavistock Institute, it was established earlier, but the whole mechanism, the whole Marxist, Nazi mind control machine, propaganda, you know, these references to, you know, his mouth speaking great things. This is talking about propaganda, lies, which is just, today, I don't even look at anything anymore. I can't look at any mainstream news, internet news, anything secular. I don't even waste my time. It's all here in Scripture. The Lord's made this thing so clear, and I know we're right in the middle. We're right here. I'm saying we're not in the middle of this thing. This thing's way, way, way farther along than most people think. You know, I see us well. I see us in this verse in Matthew. I see this taking place right now. That immediately after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened. The sun and the moon will be darkened. We know the sun and the moon are metaphors. The sun is the gospel. The moon is the church, no longer reflecting the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the true gospel. It's the everlasting gospel that who speaks? The 144,000 in Revelation 14. Fear God. See, because these guys that are, these pastors that are, what's that word I used earlier? That lightness or whatever. You know, their frivolity that they speak. This is the harlot church, you know, the Hawaiian shirt pastor, you know, going, Jesus is my best friend. Well, you sure? You sure it's Jesus? You sure it's not an imposter? You sure it's not the Babylonian Jesus? I want to move on now. This is we're looking at all this scripture concerning the inhabited body at the end of the age. Not saying it hasn't happened. This thing has cycled, and there's been manifestations of the man-child all through the Bible, all 6,000 years. But this thing, we've been in a building process, and it builds up to this point that we're in the end, a collective man-child. Isaiah 11:12, and he set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is the gathering of the elect, and this is the 144,000. The envy shall also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah. Judah shall not vex Ephraim. This is the two sticks going on here. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. Isaiah 11:15, and the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. What's that? Well, the tongue of the Egyptian sea is the deception. It's the false doctrine coming out of the world, out of the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind, his tribulation, shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. In Isaiah 27:1, in that day the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. This gigantic metaphor going on here, this serpent, this beast out of the sea. Pride, the pride of the scribes and Pharisees that ascends at the end of the age. It was put to death. It had a deadly wound, and the deadly wound was healed. But the Lord shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, and he shall slay the dragon. And we see that the remnant that stands, that has victory over the beast and the power of his name, standing on the sea of glass. Well, that's what we see here, the metaphor of the sea of tribulation, calmed as those who overcome the beast. Isaiah 27:12, it shall come to pass in that day, the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcast of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem. That's Matthew chapter 24. And they're gathered one by one. This is what's happening now. One person at a time is coming to the truth, coming to the Lord. They're responding to this truth. Jeremiah 30, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For, lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now, I'm telling you, there's a real, and I'm going to go ahead and say a snare here. The Lord is so set on, you know, his people studying to show themselves approved. And we're going to see in Jeremiah chapter 30, there's two words, captivity. And this captivity here in Jeremiah 30 verse 3, it's H7622 in the Strong's. And it's exile, concretely prisoners, figuratively a former state of prosperity. Figuratively a former state of prosperity. That I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah. This is good news. This is a good captivity. I will bring again the former state of prosperity to my people, Israel and Judah. Okay? So this is how you got to study this stuff to really get it. But see, that always made me, that always confused me when I read this until I started digging. And when I got into it, I realized. And, you know, this word is all over Scripture, this H, you know, 7622. It's in Ezekiel 39, therefore, thus saith the Lord of God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. See, this is good news. This is all in context of good news, of God restoring his people. Hosea 6, also, O Judah, he has set an harvest for thee, when I returned the captivity of my people. He's returned the prosperity of his people. This is where this ends up. God's people are returned. The prosperity is returned to the remnant. And this is in Joel chapter 3. For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. See, these are tricky words that you have to, you know, when something doesn't make sense, you know, it's not because of the Bible. I'll tell you right now, it's because of you. And, you know, I fortunately was able to dig into this. And I'm going to keep going because the other captivity is in this same chapter. Jeremiah 30, verse 4. And these are the words of the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned unto paleness? Now see what that's talking about? You know, we've got this signs of the woman travailing in birth, and, you know, the birth of the man-child. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. Okay, do you know what's coming here? It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Folks, what I'm telling you about tonight is Jacob's trouble. We're in Jacob's trouble. We've been in it. Jacob's trouble is the Babylonian captivity. It's the Babylonian captivity that runs twice. This is it. Jeremiah 30, verse 8. I'm going to read verse 7 again. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. This is talking about what we're in right now. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, when he shall be saved out of it. This is the time when God allows his house to be invaded by Assyrians, Chaldeans, by Gog Magog, by an army of false prophets. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. We're in it. Jeremiah 30, verse 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Okay, this strangers is the strangers that have come into the sanctuary of the Lord. Okay, the transgressors that come to the full. But it comes to an end. The transgressors come to the full at the end of the captivity. And then the remnant is released. And Babylon is destroyed. What's that going to look like exactly? I don't know. But the Lord's going to make it clear. He's reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Jeremiah 30, verse 9, and they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now, when I see David their king, I see man-child in that. I'm not going to speak. We see Jesus for sure. We see the line of David. And that includes Jesus. It includes Zerubbabel. It includes David. It includes us. Okay, that's what the mystery of this whole thing is. As this man-child, is Christ inhabiting us. It's like one thing. It's amazing. It's so cryptically written in Scripture. But when you start picking up on it, you can see it in there. And it's hard for me to sit here dogmatically preaching it, because it's the last thing I want to do is to preach false doctrine. But when I see David, I see man-child. That's all I'm going to say right now. Pray that the Lord continues to open this up. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest. Okay, see, that's what started this whole thing, remember? We forgot our rest. You know, those shepherds have caused them to forget their resting place in Jeremiah 50. This is what brought on the first Babylonian captivity. This is bringing on our captivity again. This is the reason, because we've gone on into perdition. The church went on into perdition. It had a better way. Let's fill up auditoriums and merchandise the souls. We can make merchandise of these souls. Well, this is what's happened. This is the reason for the captivity. This is getting really good now. O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Jeremiah 30, verse 11, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. This is Jacob's trouble. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. Okay, well, that's brutal, and I'm telling you what, there's a pretty good chance that's talking about martyrdom right there. I'm still out on it. I mean, I've read that verse 1,000 times, and now that I'm seeing this Jacob's trouble, is this time that we are in right now. We're in the tribulation. What the church calls the tribulation. I like to call it the indignation. The Lord's fury. The Lord was mad. And he sent judgment upon his house. And we're in process for the purpose of separation. But this bruise is incurable and wound is grievous. Nahum, chapter 3, verse 16. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and flieth away. Thy crowned are as the locust, and thy captains are as great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. Now we know what all that's talking about, these great grasshoppers, these locusts that are hiding in the hedges. These are false teachers. They're false teachers that scatter. But we heard in Jeremiah chapter 30, when Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, you know, that when the sun arises, they flee away. What's the sun? Well, it's the truth. It's the Lord. It's the gospel. When the sun arises, they flee away. They run. But folks, this is Jacob's trouble. This is the indignation of the Lord. This is the Babylonian captivity redo. This is the second run-through of this Babylonian captivity. We're smack in the middle of it. We're probably at the more closer to the end of it, and I'm pretty confident that this thing's coming to a conclusion here. The transgressors have come to the full. I don't know how much worse it can get. With this, every wind of doctrine running the show today, from one end of the spectrum to the other, as these apostate leaders are just completely lost. They've lost their way. They've caused their sheep to lose their resting place, to forget their resting place. And this is the reason we're in this captivity. And the good news is that it ends. And the good news is that the Lord gathers his elect from the four winds. And the mystery that's ahead, it's a mystery still. And the Lord is opening it up as we go. Do I know how the second coming's going to look? No. I'm getting glimpses of it. A lot of mystery surrounding it as far as the, you know, the Lord inhabiting his church, his saints with power to come against this this army of you know, folk of locusts, of false teachers that have you know, completely consumed the land. They've devoured the, you know, every green thing, which is caught, brought on the famine. These locusts have caused this famine. Locusts are always associated with famine. And we know about locusts. If we know about one thing here, it's sound doctrine, right? But it's just an area the Lord's given us, you know, to and I really believe a very key to this whole thing, because we see this over and over, the same story told over and over in Scripture. And now we understand it. We understand what this is about. And I just want to take the time to thank all the listeners, everybody that supports us with encouragement and prayer. Just love you all. And I want to encourage anyone, any comments or questions, just keep them coming, you know, because I love it. And it helps me understand the things that you're seeing that I'm missing. Do I have all this down? No, I'm going to go back and listen to this show now. And I'm right with you. The Lord's opening this up. I'm saving notes. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. And that's it, you know, and it's exciting because the Lord has included us in his work, and it's a privilege and an honor to be a part of his plan as he is, you know, gathering his people. And until next time, this is Chris Ardern saying goodnight.